Will for leading our choir this morning, Amy and Dawn for playing the instruments. I enjoyed them. If you listen to the words of them, especially the one Dawn and her sang together, it really makes you stop and think about our Savior. I know today many have a lot of plans planned for today, and that's okay. But I'm glad that we get to be here today. It only happens like once every 11 years, I think they said. And this is where we need to be this morning. I'm thankful you took time out to be here. Before I get to my reading in Luke chapter 2, appropriate reading for this morning, I wonder if there's a word of testimony. Anything on your hearts? The Gospel of Luke, chapters 1 and 2, and of course Matthew, the first chapter, are familiar passages that are shared during the holidays. And I want to share a little bit of this to establish my thought for this morning. I'm going to begin reading in Luke chapter 2 in verse 8. And it tells us, "And there were in the fields," well, let me back up. I went by memory there. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, that ye shall see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds." So I'm going to stop with that portion of God's word this morning. My text is going to come from Luke chapter 1, verse 32, verse 33. Verse 32 said, "And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom there shall be no end." My thought, or the title of my message this morning, is "A Child is Born." And that's what we celebrate at this time of the year, the birth of the Christ child. I love to read this passage of Scripture. It reminds me of when I was a little boy. Every year, our church would put on a Christmas program. And I suppose throughout the differing years, I played Joseph, and I played a shepherd, and I played a wise man. I don't recall playing an angel for some reason. I guess they never thought I would be cast that way. The choir would sing Christmas carols, and the church would fill up with family members. Grandmas and grandpas and friends and neighbors would come to see the Christmas program, and of course me in the program. And every year we would read this passage of Scripture, or depict this passage of Scripture in our program. So this passage reminds me of my past, but also reminds me of who that baby was that was born in Bethlehem. And he was Jesus. The Bible clearly depicts and states that it was Jesus. But that baby was more than just a baby named Jesus. And I want us this morning to look at this passage. It gives us a quick overview of what had happened so many years ago. You know, Caesar had called the entire Roman Empire to participate in a census. And everyone was required to go to their hometown to register for this census. Among those that was required to register was a carpenter and his pregnant wife. And they had traveled, I guess, somewhere near 100 miles from Nazareth to the little village of Bethlehem for this census. And when they got to Bethlehem, the Bible tells us that they couldn't find a place to stay. And at some point, Mary told Joseph, it's time. In other words, it was time for the baby to be delivered. She told him the baby was coming. And now we don't have the dialogue of the conversation that took place between him and her, but I'll bet his reaction was much the same as mine and maybe some of you when you had your children. When your wife said, it's time, there was excitement. And there was hurrying and there was scurrying around trying to get things together and get to the place that we needed to get to that we might be able to have the child born. And we wanted to get there before the child was born. And I can imagine Joseph no doubt ran into the inn and he said to the innkeeper, I need a room. My wife is about to deliver a child. And of course, the Bible tells us that there was no room in the inn. But perhaps the innkeeper was the one who said, I have no room, but maybe he told them, there's a stable or a cave, and you can seek shelter there, and she can deliver the child there. And that stable that they went into became their delivery room. Mary gave birth to a little baby boy that night. His name was Jesus. The Bible says they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. In other words, they took strips of cloth. And they wrapped it around the child to protect him from the weather and to help him to stay warm. And the only crib they had was a feed trough. So they laid the baby there. They had some idea that their baby was going to be somebody special. The angels had appeared to both of them and expressed that. But I don't think they fully comprehended just who this baby was. And about the time of this baby's birth, we're told about some shepherds. They were watching their flock. They were watching their sheep by night. And the Bible proclaims that suddenly their little, quiet, obscure world that they were in suddenly was shaken to the core. For the word of God tells us that an angel appeared surrounded by the glory of the Lord. In other words, surrounded by the presence of the Lord. That's what it was symbolizing. And the shepherds, they were scared to death. And the angel told them to fear not. And basically what he said was, I've got good news. And this good news is going to bring great joy, not just to you, but it's going to bring great joy to all people. And the angel told them of this baby boy, Jesus, that was born in Bethlehem. And then it tells us that there were multitudes, hundreds or thousands of angels filled the sky singing praises to God and about this little baby that was just born. It seemed like all of heaven was celebrating the birth of this little baby boy. What was so important about this baby? Out of the millions, perhaps, of babies that were born throughout the world at that very time, what made this baby stand out? What was it about this baby that made the inhabitants of heaven sing for joy? What was it out of all the children that were born in the world? Why was the birth story of this one particular baby preserved for thousands of years, even up to yet today? Why would the angels of God appear to nobodies like those shepherds and announce the glorious birth of this baby? What kind of child would inspire thousands of angels to celebrate his birth? This special child was, according to my reading in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, he was a Savior. Who is Christ the Lord? That's what we're celebrating today. Yes, we're celebrating what we have set aside as a date, probably not the correct date, but a date that Jesus was born. But it's not all that we're celebrating. We're celebrating who that child was, what he came for, what his purpose was, what he accomplished. He came to be a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What happened that night in Bethlehem is called the Incarnation. And this refers to the embodiment. It refers to the personification of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world, left the glories of heaven, and came into this world as a human being. The Incarnation means that Jesus was fully God. That baby born in Bethlehem, he was fully God. Jesus Christ was fully God. But the Bible tells us that no one can ever see God. I shared last week in my message from John chapter 1 that this is both an Old and a New Testament teaching. In the book of Exodus, in the 33rd chapter and the 20th verse, the Lord told Moses, and he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Can't look upon God and live. That's Old Testament. In the New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 15, it tells us, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who hath only immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. See, God says that no man can see his face and can live. God dwells in such light that no one can approach him. No one has ever seen the face of God. God revealed himself to us in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, for in him, in Jesus, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John 1 and 14 confirms, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. God the Son became a human being and showed the world what God the Father looked like. Jesus not only reflects God, but he reveals God to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it tells us, in whom the God of this world, talking about Satan, and who the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Jesus is God in human flesh. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 records the birth of this baby born in Bethlehem. And it tells us there that he is Emmanuel. Emmanuel, the name means God with us. When baby Jesus was born, that was God coming into this world. The incarnation of Christ means that Jesus was fully man. Well, preacher, you said a minute ago he was fully God. He is fully God. But through that incarnation, he became fully man. What does that mean? It means that he wasn't an apparition. It means that he wasn't a ghost. It means that he wasn't a spirit. He was not God fooling us with some spiritual hocus pocus. Jesus was a man in the fullest sense, born of a virgin, as recorded in the Scripture. Romans 8 and 3 tells us, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. As I preached, as Lisa mentioned, yes, we're celebrating the birth of Christ, but we're not leaving him in that crib, or we're not leaving him in that manger. because that was just the beginning of the fulfillment of prophecy, but it was also just the beginning of the fulfillment of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was supposed to accomplish. And he gave himself a sacrifice for our sins. Blood had to be shed before sins could be pardoned. And Jesus ended the need for animal sacrifices like they did in the Old Testament, which could never forgive sin, but the sacrifice that Jesus made could. Ephesians chapter 2 and 5, Paul said, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." The Bible plainly teaches that through faith in Jesus, we stand acquitted. Through faith in Jesus, we stand not guilty before God. Colossians 1 and 22 said, "In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." In other words, no one is good enough to save themselves. There's not a single person that has ever walked the face of this earth that has ever been good enough or achieved enough to be able to proclaim salvation for themselves. If we want to have eternal life and we want to live with Christ in heaven one day after a while, we must totally depend on God's grace. And apart from Jesus Christ, there's no way for sin to be removed and there's no way for sin to be forgiven. It required Jesus to come in the flesh, and it required him to atone or to be the propitiation or to be the one to shed blood. Jesus had a human body, just like you and I. And as a man, Jesus was subject to the same world that we live in. Jesus was subject to the same pains that we experience in this life. He suffered the same sorrows that you and I experience in this life. He faced the same temptations that you and I have faced in this life. And because of that, he is familiar, and because of that, he is sympathetic to whatever our situation is, whatever our need is. Jesus can identify with it because he came in the flesh and he lived as you and I lived. The only difference between you and I and him is that we commit sin, and Jesus never did. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18 said, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." That word "succor," kids, means help. He's able to help them that are tempted. And Hebrews 4 and 15 says, "For we have an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we were, yet without sin." So Jesus suffered temptation. So he knows what we go through in temptations. And Hebrews 5 and 2 tells us, and I'm just paraphrasing what it says there, but what it says there is that he has compassion for us because he knows what our weaknesses feel like. He knows all about that. He knows what our pains are. He knows what it's like to shed tears. He knows what it's all about. He experienced it himself, so he knows what we are experiencing as we go through those things. God became man and became familiar with the life of man. Everything you feel, God knows about it firsthand. Jesus went through all of that, and he certainly went through more as he went to the cross of Calvary. The incarnation, or the birth of this child, means that we have a way to God. We are separated from God by sin. The wages of sin is death. It separates us from God. Sin, if we try to define sin, sin is a rebellion against God, against what is right. Sin is disobeying God who created us. He holds our life in his hands. When we sin, we separate ourselves from God. God is totally good, and sin is totally bad. We can't overcome that gap we've made between God and ourselves because of sin. There's nothing that we can do to bridge that gap. But I want us to know this morning that that baby born in Bethlehem, he came to bridge that gap. Jesus came to take away sin. He came to make a way for God to be able to accept us again into relationship with him, to reconcile us in relationship with him again. And to do that, as I said, he had to be fully man. In Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, it tells us, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead," it's talking about Adam, the offense of Adam that brought about sin, "much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." So the scripture is clear. Sin came into this world through one man. And it tells us in this portion of God's word that one man had to pay the price to justify us with God. Through one man, Adam, we became sinners. So through one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be set free. Free from what, Pastor? Free from the penalty of sin. Free from spending eternity separated and apart from God. Free from spending eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. A place that it describes as an awful place that nobody should ever want to go to. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, it tells us that that one man that could reconcile us was Jesus Christ, who justified us by his death on the cross. What does that mean? It means that Jesus vindicated us. It means that Jesus exonerated us. It means that he pardoned us from our sins. The sacrifice for sin had to be a perfect sacrifice. There's not a single one of us that's perfect. We can never live a perfect life. And because none of us are perfect, none of us qualify for the sacrifice. Remember what I said? There's nothing no one from all of time has done or been able to do to free themselves from sin. Nothing we can do to make things right with God, because we'll never do anything perfectly. But Jesus was able to come, and he was able to make the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26 says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world," referring to Jesus' coming to earth, "hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Jesus ushered in a new era when he came and sacrificed himself. He ushered in the era of grace. And he ushered in an era of forgiveness. We are still living in the last days. We're hearing more and more about the last days as different things are happening in our world today. But we're living in those last days. The day of the Lord has begun, and it will be completed at Jesus' return. The baby that made the angels sing, the baby that was born in Bethlehem, was one like never before and never since. The purpose of his birth was to be a sacrifice for all of humanity, for all of mankind. His life and his death, it built a bridge. It filled the gap between God and man. I know that because the scripture tells me that there's only one mediator, the bridge. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. So we know why Jesus came and what his purpose was. And this morning, if you're unsaved, and those of us who are saved, we came to a point and place in our life where we needed to cross that bridge. And to cross that bridge, we had to put our faith and we had to put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. As Savior, meaning that He did what was necessary to provide the way back to God the Father. I've told you the wages of sin is death, but I didn't tell you the rest of the verse. You all know that who've read your Bibles. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have to cross that bridge, believing that Jesus will carry us over it, and He'll stand in our stead, and He'll present us before the Father as one being forgiven. We know that all people die physically. We've seen far too many pass from this life this past year, particularly those that attend in our church. But Jesus died not so that we didn't have to die physically. Jesus died so we don't have to die spiritually. And we can enjoy the promise of being a child of God. And as we come into this day today, and we're recognizing the birth of this child, this special child, this child that was named Jesus, this child that was Emmanuel, God with us, it's a wonderful opportunity for Christian people to focus on that baby from the cradle to the cross and what that benefited us beyond for all of eternity. I'll tell you what, any time a person is saved, it's a wonderful time. But what a wonderful time it would be for someone who's unsaved, someone who knows they're lost, who's convicted and burdened this morning, don't have this peace and joy that comes with knowing the Lord. Maybe you haven't opened your gifts yet. Maybe you have, but there's another gift if you're unsaved that you haven't received yet. And what a great gift that it would be to receive the very best gift that you'll ever get in this life. It's a free gift. It's a gift that was offered up by the grace of God. And you could have it today by trusting in that bridge, trusting in that one mediator between you and God, and that's Jesus Christ. Will, I want to have a song. I don't know anybody's heart today, but I would not want to dismiss on this Sunday day, the day that we're recognizing the birth of Jesus and what His life means to us. I wouldn't want to dismiss the service and somebody be sitting here saying, I need Jesus today. Today would be a good day to find the Lord precious to your soul. I pray that we'll reflect on what a special time this is. Stop and think for a few moments. Where would we be today if the Christ child, if Jesus, was never born? Humanity will still went on. We'd still be people on this earth today. But if Jesus was never born, what would it have meant to us? The simple answer is that we would have been lost in our sins. The simple answer is that we would have had no hope for eternity. The simple answer is that we would have died in those sins and spent eternity in hell. But I'll tell you what, I'm thankful today that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why that child was born, that through the grace of God and the mercies of God, we can make an altar, whether it be here in a church, by our bedside, wherever the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, and you can put your faith and trust in who Jesus is, what He did, what He accomplished, and what it can do for you, and that burden can leave. Be a peace and a joy like you've never experienced before. And you can begin a new walk in the Lord, a new life, an abundant life. And as the Word of God says, you'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's how fast salvation happens. It's like that. And that burden goes and there's a peace. And you begin a new relationship with God like you've never had before. And you'll even have new relationships with the people around you because your heart will be filled with a love and a joy that comes from knowing Jesus. Will, go ahead. Let's stand together.